Thank you very much. Good morning. Well, actually now good afternoon, everyone. I'm Lori Wallach from Public Citizens Global Trade Watch. Thank you for your time today. We're going to hear from Senator Tester, Congresswoman DeLauro, Congressman DeFazio, and representatives of Consumers Union Food and Water Watch and the Center for Food Safety. Yesterday's final WTO ruling ordering the U.S. to eliminate or alter another popular consumer policy, the country of origin labels for meat, that we all rely on in the grocery store, could not have come at a more inconvenient time for President Obama's efforts to obtain fast track for the TPP. In addition to the TPP's offshoring incentives and the downward pressure it would pose for U.S. wages, it's been the string of trade pact attacks against U.S. public interest policies and the prospect of more such rollbacks where the TPP enacted that is fueling opposition to fast track. We all heard President Obama dismiss these concerns, for instance, at Nike saying that critics who warn the deal would undermine regulations, food safety, worker safety, even financial regulations, they're making stuff up. This is just not true. No trade agreement's going to force us to change our laws. Of course, in fact, the U.S. already has rolled back Clean Air Act regulations, Endangered Species Act regulations, CAFE auto fuel efficiency standards after past WTO rulings, as well as gutted our ban on dolphin deadly tuna fish because of a trade ruling. And Senator Vilsack has written Congress last month that if COOL was ruled against, Congress would, quote, have to fix it by either repealing COOL or modifying COOL. In January, the administration also opened all U.S. highways to Mexican-domiciled trucks at the threat of trade sanctions or NAFTA. Speakers on the call will discuss the COOL ruling and past rollbacks of U.S. environmental policies, all policies that a different kind of U.S. trade policy could ensure could be sustained. I will first introduce Senator John Tester. He's a Democratic senator from Montana, and he was not just raised on a Montana farm, therefore knowing of which he speaks, but he and his family still operate that farm in north central Montana. Senator Tester.
Well, thank you, Lori, and it's a pleasure to be on the call, not only with you, but with Representative DeLauro and Representative DeFazio. But to get to it, I am incredibly disappointed with the World Trade Organization rule. As Lori pointed out, I'm a farmer. In fact, I'm the only farmer, because I was born right, by the way. I was born lucky. I'm the only farmer who butchers his own meat and brings it to Washington. It might sound kind of funny, but quite frankly, I like to know where my meat came from. And I know exactly where it came from if I do the work. Not everybody has that ability. In fact, very, very, very few people have that ability, and that's why we passed country of origin labeling, to let families, to let mothers know where their meat comes from. The World Trade Organization ruling undermines the right of American families to know where their food comes from. This is a pretty basic thing in this country. You know, where our food comes from is something that we've taken for granted for years and years and years, and it only has been with the advent of multinational agricultural corporations that now that has been put into risk. Now, when the consumer goes, I shouldn't say that. Now, when the consumer goes, they can tell where the meat came from. After this ruling, if COOL is done away with, the consumer will go into the market, go to the meat counter, and see a USDA seal and not know where it came from, not know whether it's American beef, Brazilian beef, Argentinian beef, Australian beef, or anywhere else. But they will see that USDA seal, and that implies that it's American meat, and it's not. Look, I've got some great neighbors who raise livestock. They're hardworking folks, maybe some of the most hardworking folks in the world. They need to be able to have this tool for two reasons. Number one, to be able to market their product, and for safety. We have fine regulations in this country to be able to determine food safety. And World Trade Organization ruling undermines all of that, undermines the ability to farmers to be able to market and further consolidate in production agriculture. It takes away the ability for mothers and families to be able to go to the marketplace and make a decision on what they want to feed their families and their children. This is a horrible ruling. And it goes against what this country stands for. And to talk about what Lori just talked about, it's exactly what's wrong with free trade agreements in this day and age. They're not fair, they're free, and people close their eyes to all the other things that spin around outside of it that affect our consumers in this country in a negative way. This was a horrible ruling.
Thank you, sir. Senator John Tester of Montana. Our next speaker is Congresswoman Rosa DeLauro of Connecticut. As well as being the co-chair of the House Steering and Policy Committee, she is one of Congress's longtime leaders on food safety and fair trade. Congresswoman DeLauro.
Thank you very much, Lori, and I want to also say how honored I am to be with my colleague, Senator Tester, Congressman DeFazio, and the advocacy groups who are out there who are protecting our food safety interests. And Lori, to you, you've long been a leader in the fight for a trade policy that supports working families. So, and the issue that we're discussing today is a vital part of that struggle. Along with my congressional colleagues, I have been warning for a long time that the proposed Trans-Pacific Partnership would allow foreign countries and corporations to challenge U.S. laws. A proponent of TPP told us that we were spreading, quote, alarmism. Recently, the administration accused Senator Warner of spouting outlandish, quote, hypotheticals, and told her she was absolutely wrong. Now we see two of our top trading partners, Mexico and Canada, successfully using very similar provisions in the WTO agreements to take down democratically enacted American country of origin meat labeling laws. And as a result of this ruling, the U.S. will have to weaken country of origin labeling or face large-scale indefinite trade sanctions. And there is discussion and there is talk and there is legislation already prepared to deal with the repeal of country of origin labeling. Agriculture Secretary Vilsack warned earlier this month that if we lost this final ruling, we might have to repeal the law altogether. Well, we have lost, all right. COOL was designed, as the senator pointed out, to give American consumers essential information about the origin of their food. And with our globalized food system, that knowledge is essential to informed consumer choice. It is one of the pillars of a free market economy. And it gives a sense of security that families go in and purchase a product and know where their food is coming from. Americans, because they've been clamoring for this labeling for well over a decade, which is why the Congress passed country of origin labeling in the 2008 Farm Bill. I want to mention that just for a second because someone said, well, Congresswoman DeLauro, why are you so interested in this area? Well, I worked very, very closely with my colleague Colin Peterson at the time. I worked with consumer groups, with other members, to be able to have country of origin label placed in that 2008 Farm Bill. And we spent a lot of time and effort to get that accomplished. And now, because of a trade agreement, these important and popular consumer protections will be nullified. Nor is this the only time the WTO has struck down U.S. food safety provisions. 2008, 2009. Congress took action to stop the U.S. from moving forward with imports of processed chicken from China following a series of reports that these products were unsafe. China protested the ban at the WTO and forced the U.S. to move closer to allowing imports of Chinese processed chicken. The Trans-Pacific Partnership will contain provisions that are similar to the WTO rules that they used in this country of origin labeling case, if not even worse for domestic laws and regulations. So we should expect similar results. Food and drug safety regulations, environmental protections, even the minimum wage, all will be open to challenge. Even laws designed to prevent another financial crisis are under threat. Just last week, the Canadian finance minister argued publicly that a critical piece of the Dodd-Frank consumer protection reforms violated NAFTA. Michael Barr, formerly President Obama's own assistant Treasury Secretary for Financial Institutions, has warned that the risk to Dodd-Frank, and I quote, is real and meaningful and worth worrying about. We know that the TPP is built on the same model as NAFTA. The difference this time is that TPP will not just allow governments to challenge our laws. It will also permit big multinational corporations to do the same. Let me give you a quick comment from the Columbia Center on Sustainable Investment, an article by Lisa Johnson, Lisa Sachs, Jeffrey Sachs. These are people who have are schooled in these legal issues, and they say the ISDS provision is a mechanism that allows foreign individuals and foreign companies to sue host country governments through ad hoc arbitration proceedings rather than through normal administrative and judicial challenge. They talk about it as this is the foreign investors have an extra opportunity to contest and seek compensation for unfavorable outcomes from state court litigation. And they conclude by saying that the direction that we ought to be going in is that we ought to be removing the ISDS provisions from future agreements. The ruling today is bad news for U.S. consumers. Tobacco companies have already used trade agreement provisions to challenge cigarette health labeling requirements in Uruguay and Australia. Canadian company has challenged FDA drug safety rulings here in the United States. We cannot afford a race to the bottom in consumer protection. That is why we need to resist the administration's plan to fast-track the Trans-Pacific Partnership through Congress with little debate and no amendments. We have to get this right. Jobs, wages, and public health are at stake, and that's why we have to put the brakes on fast-tracking the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement. We cannot have trade trumping public health and public safety. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Congresswoman Rosa DeLauro. Our next speaker is Congressman Peter DeFazio, a Democrat from Oregon. He serves on the Transportation Committee and is the ranking member on the Natural Resources Committee. Congressman DeFazio.
Oh, thanks, Lori. No, I'm now ranking on transportation. I'm no longer on resources. The president came to Oregon a couple of weeks ago. I went to Nike, obviously an unbelievably receptive closed venue audience, and he said, number four, critics warn that parts of this deal would undermine American regulation, food safety, worker safety, even financial regulation. They're making this stuff up. He got wild applause after he said that. Unfortunately, the president was incorrect in that statement. Now, what he's relying upon is the head of a pin, just like Mickey Cantor. When I confronted him over NAFTA, I said, well, they can make us repeal our laws. And Mickey Cantor said, no, they can't. I said, oh, you're right. If we lose a decision in the secret tribunal, we can pay to keep our laws. And that's, I guess, you know, if the president is telling the truth here, that's the head of the pin he's relying upon. They can't make us repeal these things, although you see the quick reaction in Congress. We don't want to pay to maintain country of origin labeling for meat, which is what would be required, or huge tariffs on U.S. goods. We will simply repeal the law. So I would use an example that I also raised during the NAFTA discussion, Mexican trucks. Mexican truck drivers do not have meaningful commercial driver's licenses. They have no driver's records. They have no drug testing. They have no alcohol testing. They do not have hours of service, and they're horribly abused within the country of Mexico. I predicted Mexican trucks would be rumbling up the freeways into the United States of America. Everybody said, no, never happened, never happened. In fact, it started to happen. Congress passed a law, twice passed a law almost unanimously to prevent Mexican trucks from coming into the United States. But then Mexico won a ruling before a secret tribunal saying that this was unfair treatment, not equivalent, and because they pretend that they can meet our requirements. And therefore, we lost. They immediately imposed illegal, improper, punitive, politically oriented tariffs on the United States. They, one candid person said to the press, well, we're targeting DeFazio, Pelosi, Dorgan, the Democrats were in charge at the time. They targeted wine, Christmas trees in my state, a whole host of things. They targeted agricultural products out of Byron Dorgan state. And they also awarded a huge number, far beyond any potential damages. And what happened? The Obama administration, when they came in, they caved in. Mexican trucks are now, as of recently, going to be allowed free access to the United States of America through a backdoor program the Obama administration set up. So plain and simple here, these agreements are specifically designed to undermine our laws and cause us to repeal them. I just would recall that last week I had the pleasure at Rose's house of having dinner with Joe Stiglitz, I think a little more qualified on economics than the President of the United States. And he said that the biggest mistake he made and they made in the Clinton administration was they opened the door to regulatory takings in NAFTA. They didn't realize it at the time. It was a huge mistake, to put it in his words. And now President Obama's people are not only embracing regulatory takings, they are giving them new and enhanced legal status with the ISDS. So the mistake that was made inadvertently during the Clinton years is being exploited fully and expanded by the Obama administration and opening the door to attacks on all of our consumer, labor, environmental, and financial regulatory laws, and who knows what else they might go after. A special court that is only available to corporations. That's what this is, a special court only available to corporations, and decisions are non-appealable, done by three judges who have no conflict of interest laws and are not bound by any precedents. That's it.
Thank you very much, Congressman Peter DeFazio, the ranking member of the Transportation Committee in the House. It's my honor now to introduce Gene Halloran, who is the Director of Food Policy Initiatives at Consumers Union. Gene.
Thank you. And I might add, Consumers Union is the policy arm of Consumer Reports. Country of origin labeling is strongly supported by the overwhelming majority of consumers who want it for reasons ranging from bacterial contamination worries to liking New Zealand lamb. Our government responded to consumer concern in a proper democratic and legal way. Congress enacted country of origin labeling into law no less than three times. USDA developed regulations. When the WTO alleged that the USDA rules were unfair under their rules, USDA revised the regulations in accordance with those criticisms. The COOL regulations were challenged in the U.S. courts, and the U.S. courts upheld them. And now we have a situation where a three-judge panel of international trade lawyers can throw the whole thing out, can just tell Congress and the USDA and the U.S. courts and the American people, sorry, we get the last word, COOL must go. If the U.S. government has signed up to treaties that allow a valid, democratically created consumer information regulation to be tossed out or else pay a heavy penalty, then there's something wrong with the structure of those trade agreements. Clearly, consumer protection is at risk. Congress should not cave in and repeal COOL, and Congress should not give the administration the power to sign us up to more of these agreements when they can do such damage to consumer protection. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Gene Halloran, Consumers Union. I note a consumer organization that supported the World Trade Organization after explicitly being promised by the Clinton administration that domestic consumer and other policies could not be challenged or rolled back. My next speaker is Patrick Woodall. Patrick is the research director and senior policy advocate for consumer group Food and Water Watch. Patrick.
Thank you, Lori, and it's an honor to be on the call today with such great champions for consumers and farmers and ranchers across the country on country of origin labeling. This WTO case is a case study in the attack on common sense labels and U.S. farm and consumer policy generally. Canada and Mexico brought this case before the first label was applied to any steak or pork chop, and they used the WTO process to attack a rule that they didn't like. I think it's important to think about the context of the ruling, which we believe is erroneously blames declining livestock imports during 2009 on the application of a simple label instead of the broad-based economic recession that basically made U.S. consumers turn away from more expensive cuts of beef and pork. Ultimately, today, cattle imports are higher than they were before COOL went into effect, and hog imports are rapidly rebounding. But in the face of this WTO challenge, Congress appears to be unilaterally surrendering in the face of saber-rattling from the Canadian and Mexican trade authorities. And we think this is a terrible, terrible mistake. In the face of retaliation levels that have never been approved by the WTO, Congress is proposing to, or many members of Congress are proposing to repeal a law that is overwhelmingly supported by the American public, overwhelmingly supported by U.S. Farmers and ranchers. And this shows the attack not only on common sense food labels, but also on kind of the nature of a food safety proposal. And indeed, the U.S. District Court of Appeals found that the COOL labels enable, quote, customers to make informed choices based on the characteristics of the products they wish to purchase, including U.S. supervision of the entire production process for health and hygiene, and to address the individual health concerns and market impacts that can arise in the event of foodborne illness outbreaks. And we've seen this time and again, where foreign countries have weaker food safety systems and export things that are actually dangerous for American consumers. I think the 2010 export from Canada of 2.4 million pounds of E. coli-tainted ground beef at a plant that actually had company workers doing the supervision for food safety, it really demonstrates the problem here. Consumers want to be able to make this choice. They are making it based on concerns about food safety. They're making it because they care more and more about where their food comes from, about supporting local and regional and national farmers. And this is WTO overreach at its worst. And we urge Congress to reject repealing COOL, and we urge the Obama administration to stand up for this common sense label. And obviously, fast track would only make these problems worse. So if we're going to fast track more trade deals, it puts more U.S. protections for consumers and farmers on the chopping block. Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick Woodall from Food and Water Watch. As we shift over to questions, I just want to make one point that emphasizes what Patrick said, which is under these trade agreement rules, the fact that actually beef imports from Canada have surged, despite the COOL labels being in place, is not relevant. The standard in each of these agreements, which is language also replicated in the TPP, is that each signatory country shall ensure compliance of all domestic laws, regulations, and administrative procedures with the attached agreement. And that means that three unelected tribunalists in a government-to-government attack, such as COOL, can second-guess non-discriminatory U.S. consumer and environmental and financial and other policies and order Congress to eliminate these policies, such as COOL, which has withstood U.S. court challenge, merely because the rules do not comply with subjective ceilings on consumer and environmental protection existing in the agreement, even though, like COOL, which applies both to meat produced by domestic or foreign farmers, do not discriminate. So with that, I will introduce one additional participant who will be participating in the Q&A, and that is Debbie Barker, who is the International Program Director for the Center for Food Safety.